What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
What is up, Local Crown entrepreneurs? I am here today with a very special guest, Eric Farber, and we are going to talk about his business, what he's created, how he got there, and his journey to this point. So let's get started. I'm going to hand it over to you. Give us some history.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was quick. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, of course.
I really, really appreciate the invitation, and it's just a great show, and love to talk about entrepreneurship. So where did I start? I don't want to take up all the time going through everything, but essentially I'm a lawyer by trade, and I was a sports entertainment lawyer for over 20 years and represented all sorts of great people. And I like to say entities as well, because I think my big claim to fame was representing the Tupac Shakur estate for 18 years. But I also the EZE estate, and worked with hundreds of pro athletes, from NFL players and NBA players. I represented Andre Ward, the Olympic gold medal boxer who retired a couple of years ago undefeated. And I ran, people immediately think that I sort of did contracts, just about their, about their deals with the teams and things like that. And actually, really what I did was far more about their businesses. And helped, because they all sort of have these, business deals that are constantly going on. So I got to learn from a lot of different angles, whether it was opening up a barbershop, or it was a juice, it was dealing with Jamba Juice franchises or art galleries or whatever it was, right? So I just had this opportunity to work in so many different fields. And then I ended up starting a workers' comp law firm, which was really about retired pro athletes and the injuries that they sustained. And I'm based in California, so it's a little bit different out here, and where we could represent people who didn't matter where they played, because they were covered by California workers' comp. And that really grew into a really large enterprise, which I still am an owner. I don't work there anymore, but Pacific Workers is what it's called, and I ran that for about 5 years, and we grew from 4 people to, it's actually sitting about 85 people now with 6 offices, and in Northern California. And it's moved away from the athletes, and we kind of focus on healthcare workers and firefighters and restaurant workers, things like that.
Awesome.
And then I actually wrote a book about growing the law firm through a great culture, because I really found that when I dug into, oh my God, how am I going to run this sort of crazy, fast expanding business? All roads for me led back to culture.
Yeah.
And so I really focused on that and tried to create a culture that was unique to a law firm. And really coming down to the fact that law firms are businesses just like anything else. And so, if you're entrepreneurs out there running dental offices or accounting firms or any kind of service businesses or any kind of business, it's all kind of the same, and really focusing as much as you can on people. And so I wrote a book, which became a bestseller. And then I turned my attention to my newest venture, which is Creators Legal, which goes back to my roots in entertainment. And we are the legal Zoom of the entertainment business, really providing low-cost legal solutions, do-it-yourself legal for filmmakers and musicians and content creators, podcasters, artists, galleries, etc. Anybody in the creative arts space.
Wow, yes.
That is my history in a really short nutshell.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like you've got just experience across the board. How did you get into like the entertainment kind of side of things in industry? Did just always interest you?
It always interested me. I was just this, this huge consumer of movies and books and music. And I just wanted to be part of that creative process. Mm-hmm. And my mother was actually an artist, and I wanted to be part of that creative process, and nobody's going to buy my paintings and nobody's going to buy my scripts. And so, you know, the next area is really focusing on the business side of that. And I ended up at United Talent Agency for a while, which is one of the big three talent agencies in LA. And then I went from there to Sony Pictures, where I helped produce Jean-Claude Van Damme movies for a while with a company called Signature Films. And I was the director of development, which sounds like a fancy title, but you just read scripts like 24/7.
That's awesome.
And then bring them to, you know, higher level people who get to make a decision if we want to go try to buy a script.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then,
but at the end of the day, I really, as much as I wanted to be part of that creative process, I found it to be extraordinarily slow mm-hmm. and very challenging to get things made. And everybody's trying to, you know, everybody's going after, you know, sort of the same dollar to get stuff made. And I also kind of just missed helping people on a day-to-day basis. And that's really, that was really a great thing about being a lawyer, right? You get to really see the results of your work really quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you get to kind of work more one-on-one with someone, right? Like,
absolutely. And I had this chance right away. You know, I knew the lawyer who was running the Tupac Shakur estate, and they had some trademark and copyright infringement issues to deal with. And I started doing that, and I really enjoyed it. And I ended up and it was kind of the early days of illegal streaming on the internet. So like I sent out thousands of letters, right, saying, you know, you can't do this anymore type of thing. And
yeah.
No, and I had lots of people who wanted to, you know, just shoot me at that point. I was even a rap song by some, you know, small time rapper who left me in a ditch. So,
whoa.
In the song.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is, so. You know, I am still very proud of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
A rapper so cool. Put me in a song, and yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Even if it wasn't good, notably, I mean, you're in there, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And it wasn't even that big, but I still have it on an old iPod.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll go grab it. So,
yeah. That's so fun. So like just being in that kind of entertainment world on like the legal side of it, is it, I guess like that's, I, like you said, it's a business all the same, but like, is it kind of a different version? Like, is it, it's a more of a dramatic, or, you know, there's just bigger things to deal with, or just, I don't know, how is that different from typical business days?
Well, look, one of the things I will say, I really enjoyed running the workers' comp firm because it was sort of consistent and boring.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get into, you know, whether it's tech, you know, tech startups or into the entertainment business, you can get, it's sort of, it's a sexier business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people want to be part of that creative process. It's a tough business because anybody can do it if they've got some money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but it is a business just the same. There's no question. And there is a core part of that business that is sort of normal Hollywood, as I call it, or, you know, the core part of Hollywood, which deals with the studios and the people who come up through the agencies and, you know, come up through the mailroom. They talk about that stuff. And then there's the side of it that's the indies, which I was always more into the independent film. I still am, right? Because I like that voice of people. Mm-hmm. I like that voice that isn't being filtered through, you know, 18 execs at the big studio saying, oh, we can't do that, and we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we've got it. You know, it's so filtered.
Yeah.
And so I've always liked that independent voice. But that independent world is a tough one. It has changed drastically, and it is far less tough than it ever has been.
Hmm.
You know, the when we think about film and entrepreneurship, right, and in this way, and TV for that matter as well, TV has changed drastically. You know, I don't want to age myself because I look so young, as you are all thinking.
You do. Yes. No, I
no question.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, I mean, you know, you turned the knob and there was like six channels, and if you wanted some extra channels, you had to put it on, you know, the stuff with the snow.
Yeah.
And try and find some other stuff. Now there are, you know, God knows how many channels just on your cable, if people even have still are, you know, buying cable. And then you've got all the other streaming platforms. Then you've got YouTube and Vimeo and all these different ways to where independents can directly monetize content directly to their fan base. And this is a really, really big thing. And this is why Creators Legal exists. You know, back in the day, so to speak, the shifts really started happening, you know, 15, 20 years ago, where the walls of distribution that blocked the ability of a creator to monetize their work and get it out in the public, you had to go through some executive. Mm-hmm. And you had to convince them that your script was really good. You had to convince them that your product was good and that it will be good, and convince them to not only distribute it, but to give you money.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, what do you need? You need this, right? You need a phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can literally shoot a movie today, you know, write the script this morning, shoot it, and upload it for distribution. And there are so many creator tools out there these days that are there to help you do all this stuff and to monetize. One of my favorite writers out there is Ryan Holiday. And he wrote an amazing book called Perennial Seller, which is one of my favorites of his. And it's really about creating art that lasts for years and years. And you can apply this to anything, whether it's a business, you know, I don't care whether it's a dental office or, you know, you're writing a book. But if you can create 1,000 fans that will pay money for your work, then you can make a living.
Yeah.
And that's just an amazing thing these days. You know, if you want to monetize your work, whether it's a newsletter or a podcast or whatever it is, you know, there are amazing tools like Patreon and Beacons that can help you do these things. And if you're an influencer, you can go on to QuickPlace. I'm going to say that other than Patreon, that's not one of our partners, but Beacons and QuickPlace are. But you can register yourself and, you know, make money off of your followers by promoting other people's stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You can do this stuff much, much easier than you ever could before. There's a million outlets out there now. And that's really the shift that has happened. And that led to me saying, excuse me, contracts are more necessary than ever, right? They are truly, truly necessary. And they're necessary to not necessarily get them from a lawyer, because a lawyer can take a week, where you need that collab deal today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we built this thing with that in mind to be very, very fast. Most of our contracts can be completed in less than 6 minutes. And that was sort of the mantra of how do we make this as easy as possible for somebody to grab something basic, you know, get it done, send it out for signature, keep it in a digital form, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We've now got, you know, over 150 contracts, 10 creator categories. But it was all driven by this shift in the number of outlets, because the number of creators have grown.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, this just must be, that must have been just the inspiration leading into this business now, is you having to pivot, which, like, I think is such a big thing in business and stuff, is you clearly pivoted with the times. So, like, how did you just pivot into that? Did it take time? Did you, like, see it?
It took a lot of time. It was an idea that I came up with over 10 years ago. And it was one of those things that it was just, you know, entrepreneurs get this. You know, it's an idea that you just think, this is going to work. This is going to work. I have to try it. And it was just a stone stuck in my shoe. But I had, you know, I had gone through the Great Recession. That was, you know, hit me really hard. And we started this new company, and I was solely focused on that, because I will say, if there's one thing I've learned about all the different things that I've done, is people who focus on one thing at a time and really feed that one thing, that's when you start to know if it's going to be a winner or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when people spread themselves too thin and go through too many things, they've got 12 different projects going, it doesn't work. You've got to focus on one thing for a while. And so I focused on that until I felt strong enough to pass it off to my law partner, who took over at the beginning of 2021. And I resigned my day-to-day duties. And then I focused specifically on Creators Legal. And that was really, it wasn't so much a pivot in that I really had been thinking about it for a really long time.
Okay.
And then one event really happened that it was like really knocked me a bit. I represented an athlete who, actually I'll back up a little bit. I got a call from a lawyer who, said to me, "Hey, do you have a life story rights, contract, that I can have?" He was representing the Oscar Grant family, and, was the gentleman who got killed on the BART station in California and became a very, very big story. And, he represented the family, and I said, "Sure, I'll send it." I was in LA at the time. I went to my hotel room, got on my computer, sent it over. And that was used to create a movie called Fruitvale Station. And I didn't realize that until several years later when I actually met the director, who has now gone on to become one of the biggest director producers in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking, this idea has legs.
Yeah.
And so I'm back to the grind when at a time in my life where I could go sit on the beach and like read books and hang out and, you know, or keep building the other business bigger. I'm back to like, we're a tiny little company trying to get, you know, trying to make our way in the world.
Yeah. That's actually interesting point. Cause I know that is a big thing for, you know, entrepreneurs. Everybody, you know, wants that beach life, you know, but then everybody that I've really talked to and stuff that have started this company, they're kind of like, I put myself back to, you know, grinding it out. And so you guys just like, that's just the way it is. You enjoy it, right? Like, it's just your life.
I do enjoy it. There you start, you know, you go through the ups and downs, right? You have to just remember as an entrepreneur, like, you're going to get kicked in the teeth at least 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Right? And then as you get to smooth it out, as you get to build, if it's working, right, you got to sort of sit down. I'm a very early riser. I wake up, you know, 4:30 every morning and sort of, you know, go through my morning rituals of meditation and then writing down and reading and trying to learn and then hitting the gym. And, you know, basically it's you've got to learn that these ups and downs, you're just going to get tossed around, especially in the early days. And if you can get through that, then it smooths out, then it gets better. You know, but you're never going to be done with the problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my best friends who's, you know, started a company, and he is, you know, he was an entrepreneur that was glad to sort of retire. And he's been retired essentially since he was about 40, traveling around the world. He's just sent me some stuff from Paris this morning. And he says, business is problems. If you're in business, you have problems.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be the type that, you know, this is going to happen, that, you know, something crazy is going to happen today, that you're okay with that. And you know, calm is a superpower, right? You got to stay calm.
Yeah.
And that can be really, really difficult sometimes.
Yeah. And I think another thing is that's what maybe a lot of business owners or people thinking about starting a business are, oh, more money, more problems, you know, more involvement, more problems. But like, that's the point of an entrepreneur. You know, you love solving those problems, even if it sucks, it kicks you in the teeth, you're beaten and battered. Like, that's what you enjoy doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're a problem solver. As I say, you've got to see around corners too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learn to see around corners. You've got to learn to anticipate, whether that's anticipate changes in the marketplace, anticipate changes in regulatory issues. You've got to be able to anticipate what's next.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, that's an important quality. And it's, you know, to be able to ride the wave. I do enjoy it. I talk about it a lot. You know, but sometimes I like just the ease. It was nice to run a business that was really kind of smooth for a change. But I really want to see this one be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know what I got to put up with.
Exactly. And I mean, that's another thing I think is business is, even though it is such a long-term game, like you said, you know, you hit that point of, I could have, you know, sat on the beach and read a book and it'd have been nice, but like, you went and started a new one, but you know that this business, because you've been through it before, will be to that point again, you know?
I hope, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, let's send it up. Yeah. No, that's awesome. So when you're like your whole point of culture and all this, because clearly that's like a big base for you. And I'm sure that is what led your last businesses to the point where you were living that beach life. How do you start? How have you been starting this new company based off culture, based off following what you said? It's all a business.
I can tell you one of the very, very simple things. I mean, you know, you want to decide what the values are that a company has, right? Mm-hmm. And really making sure that you lead and understand how to lead by putting the people around in a business, I'm the CEO, putting the people around you on the same kind of footing and really understanding what that sort of empathy is, right? And understanding what are their challenges and trying to be there to make them better at what they do, not losing your cool. They're just some really, really basic things, right? And leading with culture to me is about leading with empathy, is about learning from the people around you and creating an environment that is fertile ground for people to really know that they're not going to be doing the same job today that they're going to be doing a year from now, and that it's your responsibility, that these people are in your care to help lead them down a path to make everybody better. Mm-hmm. And you are building a cult, right? You're yeah. building that, you know, and we know this, like, I'll take Salesforce as an example, right? Mark Benioff started out doing this, and it was literally a tiny little company that is now, you know, a massive company. He's built a cult of Salesforce, right? The root word of cult, of culture, is cult. Mm-hmm. And the root word of that means to care, right?
Yeah, you're invested.
Right? That's what it means. That's yeah. what the Latin translation is, to care. What you're doing is you're creating a caring environment. And everybody says business has to be so cutthroat, et cetera, et cetera. If you're going to build a great business, you better learn how to care for the people around you. Mm-hmm. That's just bottom line, right?
Right. And you want those people invested in, you know, your vision. So you want, if you don't care about what they do for you, what they're doing, and they're not going to invest in your vision, and you're never going to get there, you know? No. So a big part of that is, I think you have to care for, like, you personally seem you care very much for your coworkers, your employees, but you also are caring for this client, which is, like you said, it's a very DIY, do it yourself kind of thing. So you want these people doing it themselves, but you care about how they're doing it, right? Like, you're
absolutely,
you're helping yeah, them step by step.
And so when you look at that, like, we're building, this was very different for me because I've always been in the position where I am building a service company that it's kind of one-on-one, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're dealing with the clients, you're dealing with the prospects, you're dealing with, you know, leads in a one-on-one basis. Now, for 3-4 years when I was still at the law firm, I wasn't doing that stuff anymore. But when you approach it from a caring perspective, when you approach it from a values perspective, any kind of business, you can change that attitude to where you're looking at it from the client perspective, and that would be the UX, the UX of the system. It's going to be put into the system, and the people can feel it that you're trying to create a system that you really care about the experience that they are getting.
Yeah.
And that takes time to build, right? But any entrepreneur who isn't just trading, you know, online as a day trader, is got to be creating a customer service experience. And part of that customer is also the people who work there.
Yeah. Right?
And I've always said, you know, take care of your employees. The employees in turn take care of the clients, and the clients take care of everybody. And if you put forth that vision of really taking care of people, then it's going to come out in every aspect, whether that's the developer, whether that's the designer, whether that's the customer service rep, whether that's somebody developing the contracts, like in our new system. They all have the same sort of vision in how can we make this more user-friendly to the customer.
Exactly. So with your contracting company, like these people can come in and get a contract, like, you know, same day without texting a lawyer, which contracts in business are so, so important. I think that's like the first thing I learned in school, you know? So can anybody do this, or is it basically for mostly entertainment people? Or if, let's say, I was running my, you know, boutique and I needed a contract with a supplier or something like that, can I run it through that?
Well, we will at some point, and we don't have it yet, but it's on our roadmap for like, for advertising contracts and things like that. We don't quite have it. But yes, it's going to be more for the creator world. However, let's say you're a brand and you want to hire an influencer, or you want to hire a brand spokesperson. You can do that with our stuff.
Right?
Okay. Contract creators part, or NDAs for ideas, things like that. So that we do have lots of different types of things out there. But we are a specific niche. LegalZoom is really, you know, the generalist, if you've got a restaurant and you need an employment agreement or whatever it is, and where there's all these different things that are really popping up. And we could talk a little bit about sort of the legal tech side of things.
Yeah.
75% of people in America who need legal services cannot afford them.
Yeah, they're expensive.
75%. The average American has 1.5 hours of the average lawyer fee in their bank account.
Wow.
That's it. Okay. The legal world has kind of failed the public in their ability to do this. So tech is stepping in and changing this stuff. And they've been very successful, right? LegalZoom, if you took it in terms of a law firm, is the largest law firm in the history of the world. With, you know, and I think its valuation is somewhere around $3 billion at this point, right? Because it's a publicly traded company at this point. And they've served, I think it's 4 million or 5 million. This was in 2018 numbers. 4 million people doing 10 million documents.
Wow.
There's not a law firm in history that can say anything like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a great company. It's also based in Oakland called Hello Divorce, making divorces more easier through tech enabled. There's a new company called Trust and Will out of San Diego, making wills and trust really easy to do. I could just go down the list of, you know, there are legal solutions that are tech enabled and tech based now that are really trying to attack this issue of access to justice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the same. Those walls of distribution have been changed by the tech business for the creators. Well, really, you know, we were blocked, or people were blocked, if they couldn't afford a lawyer. They didn't have a place to turn except for going to NOLO Press and grabbing, you know, a do-it-yourself book, and you had to read the whole book.
Yeah.
Now,
did that.
There's so many different ways to skin this cat, so to speak.
Yeah. So you guys are like pioneering pretty much like a whole new kind of world for legal things, which I think is so crucial, because I mean, you start a business and then all of a sudden you're like, I didn't even know that was a thing I had to worry about, let alone pay somebody to help me with.
Yeah.
And you're saving them money in the long run. And
yeah. And so I look at this company, and we were actually part of the Duke Legal Tech Program, which was an incubator, a cohort program out of Duke Law School, which was all about access to justice. And, you know, we were asked to come in, and sure, I understood that we were providing a service, but it's also, we now really think of legal tech as an access to justice issue, because so many people can't afford lawyers, right? The average contract in America costs $6,900 from a lawyer.
Wow.
Our contracts cost $19.
Yeah. That's insane.
You can get a complete subscription from us for $108 a year and use us as much as you want.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a third of the price of the average lawyer. It's a tenth of the price of 1 hour of a good entertainment lawyer.
Yeah. So you guys are just shifting the whole industry.
Complete. I mean, God, you know, yes, God willing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole goal.
Yeah. And that's why I'm doing podcasts like yours, right? To get the word out on this, that there's that really this is out there, right? And LegalZoom, which is the huge, you know, the huge company, they're the ones who, you know, broke ground on all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's so cool, for especially for, you know, small businesses and things like those are what's going to be building, you know, building America, making everything go get bigger. And if they can't even afford, you know, how to do that legally, what are they going to do?
Yeah. And look, it's, you know, you can't expect that you're going to be able to do the exact same thing a lawyer can do when you go onto an online service. You got to study it. You got to take your time to get through it. That's why we were so, you know, we were really wanted to make each one of these contracts really simple to use. Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you're going to get into this stuff, it's going to take some time. It's going to be tough. It's going to, you know, you've got to know what you're doing. And that's what business owners need to do. That's why, you know, you're trading a 40-hour-a-week job for an 80-hour-a-week non-paycheck job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're trading it for that kick in the teeth, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So just to like kind of shift gears and kind of wrap up a little, if you had like one thing you would tell anybody starting out, getting going, or even just in the middle of their business, just that you've learned through all your years of crazy experience, what would you tell them?
If you're going to start a business, one, try to do it from an area of knowledge that you have, right? You should know about the thing. And if you just really want to be in that industry, go work for somebody else for a while to learn as much as you can. You know, a good apprenticeship should take you 5 to 10 years, right, okay, of learning. On the other side of it, it better be something you love, because you're going to wake up and go through challenges every single day. And unless you do it for free, which you are going to do for the first 3 to 5 years,
yeah,
you better freaking love it.
That's awesome. I'm sure a lot of people connect with that. I mean, I feel like I needed to hear that. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't skip that learning phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people just want, you know, they want to go straight to the, you know, they just want to have CEO on their card, so to speak. Don't skip that learning phase, right? Robert Greene talks about it in Daily Laws and 48 Laws of Power and the Laws of Mastery. You know, that is your time to push the broom and start learning, right? And
that's right.
An old Stoic saying, actually, but pushing the broom.
Yes.
And that you know, that's your time to learn as much as you possibly can. And that's why learning from somebody who knows it is so incredibly important, right? There's right, always more to learn, and you've got to learn more than the basics. You've got to have a deep understanding of where the subject matter is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you said, get a good mentor, you know, put yourself around those people. I think that's really crucial. Like your five people you're with are who you're going to be, right?
Absolutely. Right. The, you know, you can tell a lot about somebody from the books they read, from the people they hang out with, from the TV shows they watch, and how they spend their time.
Their right? time.
You know, you can predict the future.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's so true. Yeah. And I see that more and more nowadays. So that's awesome. Well, how do we reach out? How do we look up what you're doing, and how do we get your book, follow you? Do you want to give a shout out?
I'm going to do a shout out basically on Creators Legal. So you can follow me on Twitter. You won't see a whole lot. Which is at Real Eric Farber. Creators Legal also has a Twitter, and that's more active. You can always reach out to me if you really want at eric@creatorslegal.com. Awesome. And we can do Crown 50, and we can give your listeners, if they want, a 50% off the first year, a year subscription, which puts it at, you know, $54 or something like that.
Wow.
And we're happy to do that. And we also have a WeFunder campaign that we're raising a little bit more money, and we really wanted to get the word out with a crowdfunding campaign instead. We just launched that this week.
Awesome. So, yeah. Would you actually real quick, just go into that a little bit? Cause I think they would love to hear about it.
Yeah, sure. So WeFunder is just one of the platforms to do crowdfunding, but it's an actual equity crowdfunding. You're not just giving us money in exchange for like a t-shirt, where you actually get shares in exchange. And we have literally just launched it. I don't think there's anybody is actually invested. I think we launched it up yesterday. Not to a lot of crowd, you know, fanfare and all that kind of stuff. We just wanted to kick it off. And so the crowdfunding is a great, you know, is really a great way to get, you know, our idea out there. Easier to be an entrepreneur than ever before in history, right?
Right.
Work hard. And so we've launched this. It's under WeFunder/CreatorsLegal. And we are only raising 107 on this round. That is the sort of minimum tier that you can do. And so it's just going to help us kind of make sure that we're good for the next 12 months or so.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like you guys are looking out for small business entrepreneurs and really have the right message and want to help people get this legal help that's, you know, just insane expensive. So I think that's awesome. I hope you guys follow up. I loved this episode and I hope you guys tune in next time. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the entrepreneur on fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.